Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of Cousins for Christ, where we're just three cousins who like to get together and talk about Christ. Joined by my cousins, Jeremy.
Hello.
Cousin Chris.
Hola.
I'm Jeff. It's good to be with you guys again.
That's
talking
good, man.
About God's Word.
Missed you guys.
Yeah, it's been a while. We had a couple weeks off. I personally have been sick, but I feel better now, and I appreciate everybody's prayers. This evening, we're going to be talking about Noah. Kind of following in our great Bible characters.
Jeremy's favorite character of the Bible.
It's a good character, Chris. We're going to touch on Noah. Who was Noah? Was he a man of God? And how did God and his relationship and his faith in God influence him? And it's a story I think we've all heard, but I think as we're going to touch on, we've heard things about it before that may not necessarily be in the Bible, so... I think it'll be a fun talk.
Oh, I think so, too.
For those of you who are listening, if you want to join along with us, our text for this evening was going to be from Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to do a verse-by-verse read-through, kind of typical of what we've been doing here of late. And we'll read a little bit, and we'll stop, and we'll chat about it and see what we can take from those passages. Guys, you ready to take off?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's do it. I'm reading tonight from the English Standard Version, the ESV, beginning in chapter 6 at verse 1. When man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of man were attractive. And they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men of who were of old, the men of renown. Let's stop and talk about that. That takes us through verse 4. When you hear the passage, the term sons of God, what do you think that means?
Well, there's two trains of thought here. So the most popular... especially to nowadays, thanks to Michael Heiser, is the fallen angels. It's the fallen angels came down and mated with women. And they get this through Job 1 when the Satan and the sons of God walked into heaven to see God. Also, another speculation, at least not as popular, but some people believe, because a lot of people kind of get scared of the supernatural part. But the whole Bible's supernatural.
Why do you think that is?
Like, I don't know. But the before we get into that, we'll say they think it's the sons of Cain, or the daughters of Cain married the sons of Abel.
Oh, okay.
And so, but I don't think that would warrant God. I wouldn't think that would warrant God destroying the earth, though.
Nephilim, for those of you who don't know, Nephilim, it's basically means giants.
Giant.
So there's two trains of thought, as Jeremy just alluded to. Some think it's actual angels, fallen angels, who had come down from heaven.
I'm one of those.
I think I lean toward that camp. Others, like Jeremy said, it refers to just human beings. But
and do you think the Nephilim were created because the sons of God came into the women? Is that how?
That's their offspring. Yes, that is what a lot of the scholars think, is that the Nephilim was born of. Now, when we say giants, we're not talking about 100-foot tall beings. Okay,
right.
We've talked about this before, where with David and Goliath, where the average, you know, Hebrew was probably around 5'1", 5'2".
Right.
And so you're talking, you know, anywhere 7 foot to 10 foot, that would be a giant.
So, you know? Verse 4 again talks about the Nephilim, the giants were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. And these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. So just, I don't know that it has any real bearing on our conversation.
But I think it's important to clarify that he does reference the sons of man. And sons is lowercase.
Sons of God.
Sons of God, sorry. Sons of God. And then man is a separate.
Yeah.
But if you're studying subject with other people, sometimes in Bible classes, that may come up. So, hey, you've been exposed to it.
Yeah.
Study on your own and see what you come up with.
It's a fun topic. It really is.
So, picking up in verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So, ending right there, I think God had made up his mind at this point that he was going to, well, it says as much, he's going to destroy the earth. I think he'd already decided, look, this is a, mankind has disappointed me.
Well, I mean, how evil do you think they'd have to be, and like continually evil?
Would you not?
That you would have to just be like, all right, well, just regret doing something that he loves so much.
What about this evil? It's so evil it corrupted God's creation.
Right.
Where you have fallen angels, sons of God, mating with human women. There's no longer a pure race of humans, you understand?
Correct.
It's an offbreed. It destroys. That's pretty evil when you destroy the one true God, the living God's creation into something else.
Corrupted. Yes. All corrupted.
Yes.
I have a hard time envisioning any point in this our history that's more evil than currently today.
I was going to say that here.
I look
shortly,
all around me, and maybe sometimes I'm not trying to find the good as much as I should, but just I can tell you this: the morality of mankind, if we're to base it on what you see on a TV screen and what people who proclaim to be Christians are actually consuming, what they're viewing on the TV, how to me everything, there's a gambling commercial, like I was watching a football game. I mean it got to the point where every other commercial was
sex
something
commercials
about gambling
on all the time, just in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
it's
just
whatever thing
and,
that you're watching,
and the shows are showing fornication, premarital sex out of wedlock,
and you have
Christian, it's disappointing.
You have so-called people that identify as Christian, and I'm using air quotes, that come out and fully support abortion.
And I overheard a member of the church that I attend talking about how they look forward to watching The Bachelorette. And buddy, if you want to see something front and center, which is completely debased,
just trash,
which is absolute filth. Look no further than that. If that's what you're wanting to consume, anyway,
well, it's a
the
perfect
topic's
reflection
about that.
Of society. It's a perfect.
The
reflection
point is,
of
back then, God was disappointed, and he was going to destroy. Yeah. Let's pick up in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. It says Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Keep that in mind. That's verse 9. That's going to set the tone for a lot of our discussion. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Jeremy, break that down into days, like in feet.
510 feet long.
Okay.
85 foot wide.
Okay.
That's very massive. And 51 foot tall.
So 500 and what?
510 foot long.
510 feet long.
800.
85
foot wide and 51 foot tall.
So this is a pretty good size structure here.
It's huge.
Continuing in verse 16. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. That's important to our discussion. Again, I'm going to read 18. We'll take a little comment. But I will establish my covenant with you. Who's he talking about here? With you.
Noah and his family.
Noah.
Yeah.
And you, being Noah, shall come into the ark with you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. So, let's jump into this point right now. I have heard, and we discussed this, I think maybe our very first podcast was about Bible
misconceptions.
Mm-hmm. You'll hear this, and again, we have books. We're at a church house right now where I believe there's books on this shelf.
There are still?
They're down there.
Okay.
That will tell you, and I have a, I bought for my daughter, or my sister's bought it for her, but there's a, your first Bible. You know, it's for kids. It's got illustrations and all that. And it actually talks about, in that, how Noah was being ridiculed by the people around him as he was building the ark, and it alludes to the fact that during the construction period of the ark, Noah's out there, you know, just preaching away, you know, change your ways right now.
Save as many people. He's on the street corner.
You know, God's going to destroy the earth. Kneel down and repent. Guys, this is my opinion. Anybody out there, if you disagree and want to prove me wrong,
it's not your opinion. It's you're going on Bible text.
Yeah, that's exactly. Thank you for that. We have absolutely zero evidence that Noah was evangelizing at all. If we're to read further, and you know, earlier in the, it talks about how. Verse 13, God says, no, I have determined to make an end of all flesh.
That's a direct word.
I think he'd already made up his mind. I think God had made up his mind that he was going to destroy the earth. It was evil in his sight. And the only people he were going to save, we're back in 18 again, verse 18 of chapter 6. You, your wife, your sons, and their wives. That was it for people. Of course, we'll get into the animals here in a second, but those who will continue to this very day will talk about how Noah was being ridiculed during this period and how he was trying to save souls. That is not true. There's no evidence of it in the Bible.
I think, and Jeremy, I think, was the one that brought this up too. That, because when I thought about it, I thought of him being like a part of a town. A lot of people, when they were born, they live close to each other for safety, protection, all this other stuff. We have no clue what it was like geographically. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he was probably out on his own. Somebody mentioned earlier about the trees.
Chris,
all stuff.
Jeremy, is there any evidence within the text, and we'll continue reading, is there any evidence within the text of where he was at all?
No.
Was he in a city? Was he miles outside of a city?
No, he was way outside of... We can speculate all we want.
We don't know.
We don't know, but we know this. There was a lot of trees around, you know.
He had an ark that was three levels high, 510 feet long, 85 feet wide.
Yes, specified of a certain wood.
Yes.
So I'm guessing, guys.
Or gopher wood.
I'm guessing that was going to take quite a bit of material, you think, to construct this?
A little bit. Just here and there.
So.
Yeah, something.
Well, no, not until we're after this. I wanted to bring something up that was from 9 about how Noah walked with God. Do you think he physically walked with God, or did he talk in the sense of like how,
God was,
I wanted to say that God wasn't just hand in hand.
God was with
no,
God was with him.
It's more like in the New Testament.
It could be exactly the same as God walks with us.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to bring up, that the reason he was a righteous man, God wasn't specifically like with him, like physically, but he was walking in the path of how God wanted them to be. Yeah.
I'd like to comment before we move ahead about the laughing at him and, you know,
the ridicule.
So let's think about this. He's cutting down these huge trees, right? People are not going to be laughing at him. They're going to be yelling at him. Hey, man, that tree just landed in my house. He's like, hey, man, my hammock was tied to those two trees. What'd you do that for?
I mean, I think the biggest thing to realize is we get too much into what the Bible doesn't say, and we want to speculate on our own instead of the clear message. God was wanting to rid the world. Determined.
And the ESV, yes. Yeah, I don't think anyone laughed at him. I don't think anyone else was around him.
Let's use this as an opportunity to tell you, all we know, guys, listeners, is what the Bible tells us.
Doesn't say they laughed at him.
No. We can speculate all we want, but if it's not written in the Bible, then we can't make up stories to suit our fancy.
And we have to be careful about that, because I mean, this may seem like an.
How do you think that started? Thing. How do you think that myth got going?
There was a book that is not
one of my children's book.
No, it's actually a book, an apocrypha book that was never in the Bible, was never canon. That it was wrote centuries after the fact, and they made mention of it, and people just gathered it and took it.
Well, as far as the true Bible, the divine inspired word of God, and Genesis, where it talks about Noah, that's not mentioned. So that's long been a source of contention for me when I continuously hear people posting memes and such about how, you know, Noah was being ridiculed and his cries went unheard. We have no idea that he ever evangelized at all.
And I think this is important to know, like, and a lot of people, like, I used to think that was the way that it was, but I didn't read my Bible to confirm. You just assume what you hear is the truth.
Because you hear it growing up in every Sunday school.
You have to follow and read the Bible for
yourself.
Another
warning that regardless of whether it's your Bible school teacher when you're a kid or you're listening to your favorite preacher in the pulpit, you have to go back and study the scriptures yourself
exactly.
to make sure that what you're being taught or what's being said is in accordance with God's will.
And here's another important thing. Once you find out that someone's saying something wrong or you're wrong, correct it.
Have a conversation about it, because, I mean,
I want to go back to what you had jumped ahead a little bit about how Noah walked with God. Just because he was blameless in God's eyes and he walked with God, does that mean he was without sin?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, and I think we're going to touch on that. I just wanted people in verse 9, it said he walked with him, to know that it was similar to how the New Testament talks about walking with God.
They didn't, like,
with
hook up at the city.
It wasn't
park
like Adam and Eve where he came.
Joined hands and they went for
right,
a stroll.
Right. He walked in a way that pleased God, like living that life.
One more thing to talk about how I don't think Noah was evangelizing during the construction of the ark is, as we mentioned, God had already said he was going to determine to make an end of all flesh. Also, he gave Noah very specific dimensions for the construction of the ark. So I make the argument that, okay, let's say Noah's halfway done with the ark.
Yeah.
However long, and it's not, we're not told here, is it? Are we told how long it took him? I think it...
120 years.
Right? Okay. So let's say he's 60 years in, and then he finds this village over here, and they all want to turn toward God. Well, is he going to stop construction on the ark and then redimension that, and we're going to make it bigger now?
Uh-huh.
And I don't think so.
Listen, if you're building a boat that big, you ain't got time to go out and preach.
And probably not.
You're either working on that boat or sleeping.
So that's what I think that's our mutual consensus, is that... No, God made up his mind, and once Noah started work on this, that was it. There was he wasn't preaching.
And I think a lot of people get that from, what was it? Where'd you get that, 2 Peter or 1 Peter?
2 Peter, let me pull that up real quick. 2 Peter, I had it up, here it is. Hit the balls off. All right, so 2 Peter 2, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with 7 others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Okay, so a lot of people gather that, oh, see, he was a preacher of righteousness. He had to be out preaching. Yeah, he was preaching. If he was preaching anybody, it was the other 7 people with him.
And he may have been a preacher prior to God making the determination to destroy the earth.
We could be just as wrong as the other, but it doesn't say that he was out preaching. Because once we say it again, in the ESV here, determined.
I don't get from 2 Peter that
a lot of
he was
use that,
he
though.
Was preaching
that
during the
a preacher of righteousness to me means that he walked with God.
Yeah, but
same
a lot of
thing.
People use that though to say that he was out.
But then again, a lot of people use a lot of cherry picked verses to support conclusions
they
that they come
but
up.
But I
with.
Think your best bet right there, your best argument for it, God gave specific instructions. And I don't think they had any bonus rooms or like hangout areas or you know what I mean?
The
like
guest suite
just in
for
case.
People. Yeah.
He knew God had, I keep using the word determine, what he wanted. That's
Do you think if he wanted Noah to go out and be saving, trying, attempting to save souls during the construction of the ark. But in verse 18, he'd have told Noah that I'm going to establish my covenant with you. And he would have been so specific in who was actually going to be on the ark. I mean, God, he's very specific. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives.
Well, what was the saving grace for Noah? Think about it. Jesus hadn't been here yet.
Yeah.
So the Torah wasn't wrote yet.
Yeah.
So they didn't have the laws. And so God looked down on Noah because Noah walked righteously with God, knowing there was a God, living his best life. Like,
now, I'm not doubting that. Again, I can't back this up with Scripture. But I could envision a scenario where, say, Noah had, it had finally got wind to people over time. It was 120 years that he's out there building this big old boat.
Yeah.
That once the rains did start falling, there might have been people outside hollering, like, let me in. I don't doubt that.
Jeremy had a thing
Let's talk about that for a second. When people, we've seen floods now. Before television and video came out, people hear about floods, maybe not know how they would take place. We know how floods happen. They happen so fast. What's the video we see when a town floods? We see people on their roofs. They don't run out trying to get higher ground. They run to the top of the roof because the water hits so fast.
So fast.
Very sudden.
That the only thing they can do is run upstairs, climb out windows, and get on their roof.
I mean, I can't remember how many it was that happened in Waverly. 13 or 20 people passed away.
Yes, it was so fast.
So fast that it took.
And here's what we're thinking. We're talking about rain, right? But that causes the rivers our time. Rivers flow from rain. Here, it just doesn't rain. It rains for 40 days, yes, but the fountains of the world underneath the world all came up, geysers everywhere started exploding. So the water's coming in a lot faster than we realize. You're not having time to go out there and beat on the boat because you're going to get swept away very fast.
So can I ask you, too, a question on this? Mm-hmm. As some people will ask, and I've heard it, in like, why wouldn't God try to save the other people?
If there'd been any righteous risk, it may have very well been that Noah was the only person, he and his family, that he saw blameless.
If he's a merciful God, why would he destroy?
We're going back to Genesis again.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that. We want to take the first four verses of Genesis 6 and cast them away from Noah, but they shouldn't be. They're part of Noah's story.
Correct.
Once again, the sons of God came into the women of man, and they created another type species, a half-breed of sorts, which corrupted the thing. We don't know.
We don't know. What we are told is that Noah was righteous, he was blameless, and he was all that was going to be saved. Do you think it took some faith on Noah's part when God told him, 100% I'm going to destroy the earth with water?
Complete faith.
100%.
And for him to go out and start, do you think he ever questioned? Well, it doesn't tell us he did. Did he ever question God about, gopher woods, it only grows way over here. Could we not use this tree, this wood that's real close?
That's some nice soft pine right here. Can we?
This is how I'm going to take it. So let's go to Jonah for a minute. What happened when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh? He left.
Yeah, he went the other way.
He went the other way. Doesn't say Noah did any of that.
We're not told
Noah
that.
Noah just took it right at it and started doing what he believed God wanted him to do.
Okay. Good discussion, guys. Anything before we move on?
No. The only thing I'll say about the mercy thing that I wanted to answer is, I think it was so corrupted, and he did something. God loved everybody. I mean, imagine how he did the same thing for us. Instead of destroying us, he gave his son and unleashed all of his wrath upon it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To save the world that he loves, the people that he loves, he had to do this.
Well, he says, too, he'll never again destroy world with the earth with water.
But no.
Good point, Chris. It took a lot of faith, I think, for Noah, to obey God's command. He built this ark. Now, we're not going to go.
I wish for the faith in Noah.
Yeah, I hope that I do. So to kind of, we're 25 minutes into our podcast here. We're not going to go through all of chapter 7 and chapter 8. Basically, we know that God, we had one pair of each animal that was unclean, seven pairs of those that were clean. They were on the ark. We know it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. There was a period of time there where Noah continued to let different birds out to come back. And again, if you want to read this in its entirety, Genesis chapter 6.
Please do. We ask you. Please do.
Through chapter 9. And then it goes into Noah's descendants and so forth and so on. But what I really want to kind of touch on here is that, again, the faith that Noah had to obey God's command. And he did that. And then when the flood waters receded, we can read this. We'll pick up in chapter 8, verse 20. God's covenant with Noah. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So there you go. Also, Noah had great faith, but the first thing he did when he was spared and the waters receded, he thanked God.
Yes.
He built an altar to God and sacrificed some of these animals, and the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, it says.
It never shows, excuse me, it never seems to have anywhere in there that shows any unwavering or any wavering of faith.
We're not told that.
Like, even like when the bird, you know, comes back and he knows, like, oh, okay, we're still not where we need to be. You know what I mean? There was never a place where he turned his back.
His faith was unwavering.
Yeah.
Like, he had the vision or the dream, and he went to work.
And I think that's where a lot of us go. I know I do, that if I don't see, and you'll pray for things, and you'll hope, and you'll be in a situation where you don't see an immediate answer, your faith wavers. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, what human decision do I need to make to control the situation instead of letting God's plan unfold?
I think that's a good point, Chris. Yeah. I think that's a lot of times how we have to approach things. If you've been listening to our podcasts, we've been talking about Daniel,
yeah,
Jonah. We've talked about David and the faith he had in the face of Goliath. And as Chris said, a lot of times we try to process a lot of these situations through our own human reasoning instead of going to God and asking for his guidance. I want to, as we're kind of starting to wrap this up a bit, in chapter 9, verse 13, basically God is telling them there, I'm going to read it. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. Guys, the rainbow is that's our sign from God that we still have a covenant with him. It's not about transgender, LBGTQ, LNYXE. Got nothing to do with that. Comments?
Well, I'll be honest, it's kind of there's a little bit
excuse
of an issue
my if I think it's bastardized. I think they've stolen this.
See, that's it. It's something that's God, one of the worst sins in the Bible is pride, right? The devil.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's true.
And now the rainbow, a covenant to God, is used as a symbol for Pride Month. You take God's promise.
I just want to let people know that the rainbow is actually a sign from God that he is our Father. He's our Savior. He will take care of us. It's not about homosexuality or transgenderism.
Well, Satan's known for taking what God gives us and trying to turn it evil.
Transforming it, yeah.
But
I mean, you see that with a lot of religions and everything else. It's
yeah.
He's taking those to corrupt God's word.
But Yeah, I just think it's important to remember just the faith of Noah. And
faith of Noah.
I mean, it's just, it's, wow.
It's a good story.
I hope and wish.
Yeah, guys, start reading in Genesis chapter 6. And it's not going to take you long, but story's laid out.
With the last few minutes that we have here, it's like you hear all about Noah and Noah's unwavering faith, but then people will bring up this last point that I hear, that God will use certain people to do certain things. And he's like, I've seen it recently, God used a drunk. And in the drunk, they are referring to Noah.
Let me get this one.
Jeremy.
So Noah got drunk one time. So I think
that we know of,
does that classify him as a drunk?
I don't think so.
No. I think a lot of people will want to tend to say, well, look, you know, Moses was a murderer and this and that, and David was a fornicator, an adulterer. Noah was a drunk. He drank one time. He wasn't going to meetings.
No, just to set the context,
what Jeremy and Chris are referring to is in chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Does that make him a drunk? I don't think so.
No, but you hear, like, you know, people want to kind of tend to shy away from him, like, yeah, the faith and everything like that, and focus just on this one point.
I'm more compelled about where God says he walked with me and he was blameless in my eyes. I tend to go back to that before I'm going
to... I would hate to be labeled as something for something I did one time for the rest of my life, even though it is that way sometimes.
You will. I mean, it's true. Yeah. It's of human nature. You want to see...
Yeah. But would I consider him a drunk? I don't know the man. But well, I can say this. It only mentions he got drunk once.
And there you have it. That's where it is. Genesis chapter 9.
How did God describe him? What did he say about him when he started?
Well, he said he was righteous enough to walk with God, so...
He was a man of righteousness.
It says in verse 9 of chapter 6.
Now, did he sin? Yeah,
Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. He walked with God.
And he said this knowing, too, that Noah was going
to fall. Yeah, Noah wasn't perfect.
But he was righteous.
Yes.
Okay. Keep in mind, just because Noah, again, just because he walked with God and he was blameless in his eyes does not mean he was not a sinner.
No.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
Because what's your favorite verse? One of your favorite verses?
Romans 3, verse 23. For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What you were going to say?
Yes.
All right. That's guys, right. Good talk. You know, another good lesson on a classic Bible story. I think I've said what I wanted to say on that.
let me say this. So that story does continue on with a little craziness at the end.
It does.
We're not going to get into it right now. However, if you would like for us to talk about it, let us know on Facebook. Then we will absolutely do it, but that's going to be one we have to put explicit on.
Yeah,
just because don't want children listening to that, because there's a lot of speculation. We're not saying it's right
or
wrong.
At least that story's not in the children's
workbook. Yeah, that didn't make it, thank the Lord. But if you would like to hear us, drop it on our Facebook page on Cousins for Christ and say, hey, I would like to hear it, if it's just a 10-minute one or a 20-minute one.
And really all you have to do, what Jeremy's talking about, if you go to Genesis chapter 9 and start reading in verse 18 through the end of the chapter, that's pretty much it. Well, guys, good talk.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Sure enjoyed it. I always enjoy studying the Word of God, and especially studying the Word of God with you, too.
So I hope I can have the faith of Noah.
Yeah, me too.
Let's work on it. And that's something, you know, the faith of David, the faith of Daniel, the faith of Jonah.
I mean, it's a running thing, the faith.
But if we get to pick everything, I would love the faith. But if I could have a side note, I would also take the accuracy with the slingshot of David.
I knew you were going to say that for some reason.
It'd be a good one to have. Good talk. Where can we be found, Jeremy?
We can be found on Facebook, Cousins for Christ. Please drop in, give us a like. Please comment. Let us hear from you. It's been a while since we heard from anybody. We'd really love to. We appreciate every one of you. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
YouTube,
iHeartRadio, and I can't tell y'all how much, for any of y'all that listen to this, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart that you're giving us some of the most valuable thing you have in your life, and that's your time.
Absolutely.
And that's something that cannot be repaid back or replaced, and we thank you wholeheartedly for that.
Couldn't have said it better myself, buddy.
Right on. Let's close out with a word of prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to gather here today to study your word, to talk about your word. We pray that what we've said today, what the points that we've made have all been in accordance with your word, that what we've done here is a pleasing aroma unto you, that it has been pleasing in your eyes. We hope that much good will come from it, that those who hear it will be inspired to study your word, and maybe something that's been said here today will turn someone who's not previously obeyed your gospel to do so. We thank you for all your blessings, Lord. We ask you to please forgive us of our sins. We know that we often say and do and think things we shouldn't. We often fall short of what you'd have us be. We're so appreciative for your son, Jesus, that through him, when we do fall short, that we can ask for forgiveness, and that we can be cleansed through his blood. We thank you for everything, Lord. Continue to be with us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to help us always look to you for guidance, and to look to you and try to the perfecter of our faith, Lord. We ask all this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.